Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Selling Greenville, your favorite real estate podcast here in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm your host, as always, Stan McCune, realtor right here in Greenville, South Carolina, and you can find all of my contact information in the show notes if you need to reach out to me for any of your local real estate needs. Just a reminder, as always, please like, rate, review, subscribe the show. Listen, if you're watching on YouTube, literally, there's a little thumbs up button. You press the button. Please, just scroll real quick, press the button, and that's it. And if you're on a podcast platform, just look real quick and just see, you know, is there a five-star button? Hit that. If there are other things you can do, I would just appreciate if you guys could support the show that way and just use me as your realtor. My contact information is in the show notes if you need any real estate help in the Greenville-Spartanburg area. Now, you may hear a little bit of an echo this week, and if you're watching on YouTube, you see a few things that are different. This is not my office. This is actually one of my company offices in downtown Greenville. Now, if you're a realtor from C. Dan Joyner Realtors and you're wondering why it is that I am, while I'm manning the office, also recording a podcast, I waited until after hours. I've been here since 5 o'clock. This downtown gallery closes at 5. Now I'm just doing a quick little recording here. So don't get upset with me about that. But I apologize if it's a little echoey today. I've got the mic like right here to try to absorb my sound as much as possible. I've got the volume turned down as much as possible. But this is not the acoustics in this room are not particularly good, but I want to get you guys the content that you guys want. And I know that you guys, my listeners, will ignore the echoeyness, or at least forgive me for it, for a one-off episode. I'm not going to be doing this from now on. This was just what needed to be done in order for me to get this content out to you guys today. All right. So I wanted to, kind of zoom out and talk not just about, we've talked a lot about big picture things going on in the Greenville-Spartanburg market right now, even to the point where, I just interviewed Representative Frank. He talked about a lot of things that pertain to real estate, but it was talking more about it from a political standpoint. Obviously, we talk about the market stats every month. I want to talk about just what I am feeling, what the vibes are like. What is the real estate market like in the Greenville-Spartanburg market right now? Okay, and I'm recording this the end of July 2025. And I know that you guys are interested because I get this question a lot from people is, what's going on in the market? What is the market like right now? And so I've just got a few points here that I want to chat with you guys about to kind of paint the picture for the Greenville market. I'm going to start with this. For the fifth straight year, mortgage rates are a big part of the story. And right now, I would argue that they really are the story, okay? Not just a big part of it, they really are the story. Now, from 2020 to early 2022, they were a big part of the story. They weren't the only story, right? Because we kind of had a global pandemic and other things that were going on there. And that's all why mortgage rates, or at least in part why mortgage rates, ended up being low during that period of time. So the low mortgage rates as a result of the pandemic, that ended up fueling this buyer craze that we had, where we had this crazy, 20% appreciation year on year, just a lot of insane things that were happening. That was from 2020 to 2022. Then increasing mortgage rates became the story, and not just a part of the story, but the story from 2022 to 2023. And then since 2024, really rates hovering in the high sixes and low sevens has been the story. And if you look at Mortgage News Daily and you look at what rates have done basically since 2024, there was one point right around the elections last year where rates did go down to the low sixes, but otherwise it's been remarkably consistent with rates just kind of maintaining, this level right around, 6.7 to 7.2, and it's pretty much just stayed that way now really for the past year and a half. And that stability is a good thing in a lot of ways, but it's not a good thing from the standpoint of stability with rates being double or triple in some instances what they were just a few years ago. Now, the Greenville-Spartanburg market is a real estate market that is tied inherently to affordability. People will pay $10,000 a month to live in a place like New York City. They're not going to pay that to live in Greenville, right? Greenville's unique, but it doesn't demand, you know, it doesn't have the sort of demand, the sort of pull that people are going to just pay some insane premium to live here. People who move here and those who choose to stay here often do so with affordability of the greater Greenville market in mind. Like, I know because I'm talking to these people every day. Now, that's not to say that there aren't other places where real estate is more affordable, right? But there aren't many that are more affordable than the Greenville market while also offering all that Greenville offers in terms of small town charm, big city amenities, proximity to bigger cities like Charlotte, like Atlanta, even Asheville, proximity to mountains, lakes, even oceans not that far away. So the Greenville market is inherently impacted from the standpoint, and we talk about the Housing Affordability Index. If that number is below 100, it's an unaffordable market, right, for most people. And we've been below 100 for the majority of the past year and even longer. And so that's what's happening, right? That is, I had to start with mortgage rates because they are the story right now. And we just don't know when they're gonna come down, right? This is a big question right now that people thought they would come down further than they have up to this point. But there's been so much uncertainty in the markets as the markets have tried to kind of parse what the president's going to do in terms of tariffs, in terms of the different wars and whatnot. I think markets have finally kind of reached a point where they feel like, okay, Trump, you know, and Congress, they're not going to completely derail, you know, the entire economy right now. They haven't up to this point. Why? What's there to say that they will, you know, in the second half of this year? And so markets have stabilized, but with that, there's not a lot of optimism right now that inflation is going to come down. In fact, right before I recorded this, some data came out that expectations for inflation are now higher than they were a few months ago. So people are expecting prices to be higher, and that impacts a lot of consumer behavior at the end of the day. And long story short, everyone is just kind of waiting and seeing, and we're not guaranteed that mortgage rates are going to come down this year or even next year. And so that is really a drag on the market here. Now, a question I get from a lot of people is it a buyer's market or is it a seller's market? And I finally, a few months ago, figured out how I'm gonna answer this whenever someone asks me, and my answer is that it is a nobody market, okay? We have seen modest appreciation on a home sale pricing, which makes sellers happy, given that actually, interesting data point that I saw just today as well, that 50% of US cities are experiencing home prices that are depreciating, becoming more affordable, that's the nice way of saying it, or depreciating, that's the way that sounds bad, because of how much construction these markets are doing. Which, by the way, as an aside, is the reason why Greenville's prices and Spartanburg's prices are still going up, albeit not as much as perhaps people would expect, but it is still going up despite the fact that 50% of U.S. cities are seeing prices going down, and that's simply because those cities are putting up more construction than we are here in Greenville. And regardless of whether you think that we have tons of construction going on around here, I mean, I see it. I feel like we have tons of construction going on as well. It is not as much as most of the rest of the country, and particularly when it comes to how large of a city that Greenville is and how large of a county it is. And the same thing for Spartanburg. So long story short, we have all of that going on where the prices are continuing to go up, but at the same time, a lot of other metrics show that the market is soft and getting softer. So it's not a seller's market, but you can't really say it's a buyer's market either, right? Prices are still going up. We're still, you know, not seeing things becoming more affordable all of a sudden. So long story short, buyers feel like nothing's affordable. Sellers feel like their homes should be worth more than they are. And I will say that while the greater Greenville and greater Spartanburg markets as a whole are seeing prices continue to increase, many people are having to sell and take a loss on their home at the end of the day. I'm seeing that over and over again. And honestly, at this point, it's pretty much every day that I come across a listing where a seller is selling for less, or they've got a home listed for less than what the seller bought the home for. And this is especially true, we've talked about this before, if they bought their home in the past 2 to 3 years, and you know, it's particularly true if they bought the home the past 2 to 3 years and it was new construction at the time that they bought it. I'm not gonna rehash all of that, we've talked about this before, but people that bought their homes the past 2 to 3 years, a lot of them are struggling to be able to recoup what they paid when they bought it. So long story short, not to be crass here, but this market to me just feels like a clogged toilet that just keeps spinning and just doesn't go anywhere. And the only solution is likely the plunger. Again, sorry, this analogy stinks. The only solution is likely the plunger of lower rates, lower mortgage rates specifically. However, there comes a point once rates go down that then a lot more buyers that are currently off to the sides could then come back off the sidelines and shift us back to a seller's market. At some point it will happen if rates come down, and that could be the story of 2026, the story of 2027, or you know, maybe later, who knows? It all depends on what happens in our economy. Now, another question I get a lot, I shouldn't say a lot, but sometimes people will call who don't really understand what's kind of happening just in general in our country, and they'll ask about foreclosures. Are you guys seeing an uptick in foreclosures? Well, even in the markets that are becoming more affordable, markets, you know, like in Louisiana and Texas and Florida, a lot of the Gulf Coast states are seeing prices coming down for a variety of issues. The new construction I already mentioned, but also issues with insurance and things of that nature. Those markets honestly, I don't even remember where I was going with that. Those markets have been coming down, and I would imagine that there are foreclosures happening in those markets. But generally speaking, even if you look at the metadata for the entire country, I really don't know where I was going with that about the Gulf Coast states. But if you look at the metadata about our country right now, and foreclosures and debt and defaults and all of that, foreclosures are still extremely low. And that's particularly true in the Greenville market. We are just not seeing foreclosures, Spartanburg as well. We're just not seeing foreclosures ticking up. Do they come around every now and then? Yeah, they come around every now and then. And yes, there's auctions that the counties do and whatnot. But we're not seeing any sort of major influx of foreclosures into the inventory that's here. And so I need to clarify something I said earlier, which is that, you know, sellers are having to sell for less than what they bought for. Well, just because sellers are having to, in some instances, sell for less than what they bought for, it doesn't mean we're seeing a spike in foreclosures, right? That's the thing. That's where people get confused, because it's like, well, any time that sellers have ever been underwater on the price of their home, they're underwater on their mortgage. But that's not the case anymore, okay? Because so many sellers put large down payments, right? Or made double payments or made honestly good financial decisions in a lot of ways. So there's a lot of equity, even for a lot of these sellers that have found themselves where, the home is worth less than we paid for it, which is a very lousy thing. So a seller can be upside down on equity, but still not upside down on their mortgage, right? If they actually, and I shouldn't say upside down on their equity, but upside down in terms of home value, right? Because they have equity by means of the down payment that they made or maybe in some other way. So I'm seeing sellers listing their homes for sale for less than what they bought the home for, but they can afford it. It's not a short sale. They have enough equity that they're just going to end up not making money when they sell the home. So it's a really lousy situation to be in if you're a seller like that, but you've got to realize that this is just the market that we're in right now. It is a nobody market. And some sellers are seeing that it doesn't feel great. And we've had that happen multiple times. Now buyers, again, because it's a nobody market, buyers are also struggling. They're spending a long time on the fence. And I'm hearing this from many different realtors while I'm also seeing it myself for firsthand. So the reality is this, because most people who are looking to move here have such low mortgage rates, a lot of them are simply waiting for the perfect house to come along, or people who are looking for that next house. Same thing, you know, maybe they need something bigger, or they need to move to a different part of town because of work or whatever. They are simply waiting for the perfect house to come along and just waiting on the fence until that happens. Investors are struggling to make deals pencil with the current mortgage rates. And really, you know, in my opinion, the only buyers who are really aggressive right now are the first-time home buyers who don't care about rates as much as others because they just want to buy a home. That was the boat that I was in when I bought my first home. It was 6.5% mortgage rate, which isn't a whole lot lower than what average rates are. In fact, probably some of you listening to this could probably get a 6.5% mortgage rate if you talk to a lender. That was my first rate. I was thrilled with it because I just wanted to buy a home, right? Obviously, people relocating who kind of have to move here for work or other reasons and just have to just absorb those higher rates, they're still moving. And obviously, cash buyers as well, they're not affected by these rates at all. The majority of the rest of the buyers, not all of them, but the majority of the rest of the buyers are just kind of waiting. And the reality is that the buyers right now don't feel like they have a lot of options, despite inventory honestly being historically high. I just checked a few minutes ago, there were 5,433 active homes for sale right now in the residential category of the multiple listing service. Of those 5,433, 2,119 are new construction. So 39% of the homes for sale are new construction. The homes for sale in the multiple listing service are new construction. Guess what? Most new construction in the area is built by production builders who crank out several hundred homes per neighborhood that all look very similar. So if buyers don't feel like they have a lot of options, well, roughly 40% of the market is new construction that all kind of looks the same, right? And a lot of them have similar shaped lots. A lot of them have similar feelings to the neighborhoods. So yeah, there's a reason why you don't feel like there's a lot of options. Even those 5,400 plus that are for sale right now, 40% of those are all new construction. There's another reason, in my opinion, why a lot of buyers feel like there aren't a lot of options right now. Many of the homes for sale are in rural areas. And I cheat a little bit. I had ChatGPT analyze the homes currently for sale to see if they were in rural areas or not. Now, I did check it. And in my opinion, it did a pretty accurate job of estimating this for me. It came up with 1,526, or roughly 28% of current active listings are in rural areas. Now, some people prefer rural. Maybe you're a listener and you're like, heck yeah, I'd love to be in a rural area. But the majority of home buyers do not. The majority of home buyers want to be in urban or suburban areas, not rural areas. So among the homes in rural areas, then I went a layer deeper. Well, how many of them are new construction? 41.7% of the rural listings were new construction. So there really is even less demand. And by the way, in rural areas for new construction than there is near a city. That's just the reality of it. Obviously, if people are building a custom home in a rural area, that's a different thing. But that's not what's showing up on the multiple listing service. Very few custom homes in these rural areas are a part of the active inventory. And then, of course, you've got the reality that is the lack of affordability that we've already talked about. Of these 5,400 and change properties, the median sales price for them, for these active homes, for sale right now was $349,900. That's a huge, huge jump from what it was just a few years ago. And again, with all that new construction, it's still not enough to cause prices to get more affordable. And of course, new construction makes up a huge chunk of the homes that are 350 and below in price. And so, even though there are 5,400 homes for sale is a lot in comparison to like a tremendous amount in comparison to recent years, but that doesn't mean that there are a lot of options out there. And that's what buyers keep finding. And for the multiple listing service to have that many new, you know, new homes in the active inventory is also a bit of an outlier. Now, I don't have the historical data, but I know during COVID, builders weren't putting a lot of homes in the multiple listing service because they didn't have to. They could just post it on their website, put signs on the road. People were coming in and buying. Now they're getting more aggressive with their marketing, putting a lot of homes in the MLS. But it's now we have to kind of parse out, you know, the what is it even going on in the multiple listing service and what kind of options do buyers have? And their options are pretty limited. A lot of new construction, a good chunk of rural, a lot of buyers are just not going to be interested in that. Now, sellers have come to grips with the fact that they need to price homes correctly. But they're expecting to get seller-friendly terms. So, you know, we just talked about the fact that I'm seeing a lot of sellers that are pricing homes that they have it listed for less than what they've bought it for. That's good. That is a good development. That was not the case in 2024. Sellers were really struggling coming to grips with the change of the market. They're finally getting over this. So we're finally moving past that. But now sellers are struggling with the fact that, okay, well, I know I'm not going to get as much as I hope to get for this house, but I expect someone to come in with an offer that has very few contingencies and is otherwise very seller friendly. The reality is that it's not a seller's market. As I've already said, sellers simply don't have that sort of power right now to dictate to the buyer what sort of terms that the buyer can make. The seller, I'm not saying the seller just needs to accept whatever the terms that the buyer offers, right? You can still counter, but you've got to be realistic. So even though sellers have finally figured out that the market isn't appreciating anymore by 5%, 10%, whatever, throughout whatever number per year, it's not appreciating by that number anymore, they still haven't come to grips with the fact that the market is still much, much softer than it was even pre-pandemic. So this is something that is probably gonna start to change if mortgage rates don't come down, is that sellers are going to have to start to, again, continue to adapt and now understand that, okay, I'm not gonna get as much money as I thought I was gonna get at first. And I also need to be prepared to accept an offer that gives the buyers a lot of contingencies, that gives the buyers a lot of leeway, that gives the buyers a lot of outs. That is the norm right now, more often than not. And that leads me to my last point of the episode, which is that the struggle over home sale contingencies specifically is real. Now, home sale contingency, in case you don't know, that's when you need to sell your home in order to buy the next one. Okay. Now, nearly all homeowners right now need to sell their home to buy the next one. But sellers and listing agents, in my opinion, are really struggling to come to grips with this reality and trying to avoid home sale contingencies at all costs still. I had one of these just recently where my buyer client had a home sale contingency. It was a pretty good one, you know, because there's different degrees of home sale contingencies, right? If you don't have the home listed, that's a bad home sale contingency. I'm making an offer that's contingent on me selling this home and I don't even have it listed. Almost no sellers in any market are gonna accept that. If you have it listed but not under contract, that's the next level, you know, like that's better, but still not great. If you have it listed and under contract, that's a good home sale contingency. And then if you have it listed under contract and the home is that you're selling, that is a part of this contingency is through its contingencies, that's an even stronger one, right? So this one was on the stronger side of that spectrum. And the seller really, really wanted to negotiate hard with me and with my client on the price because of having that home sale contingency in there. And in my opinion, they were unreasonable and unrealistic about the value of the home. And eventually my clients decided to move on. Now, it wasn't just because of the hardline negotiation. There were other factors. But the interesting thing is that since that time, the sellers have had to reduce their price to lower than what my clients were willing to offer. And my clients have also, during that time, sold the home that they were trying to, you know, make their offer contingent on. So the seller just lost several thousand dollars, at least, by trying to play hardball, and their home still isn't under contract. It's still active right now. And they could have been under contract with my buyer client. We'd already be through the home sale contingency. And as a side note, also when negotiating, the listing agent tried to justify the list price to me and the back and forth on the negotiation, which good for that listing agent. But I showed that person unequivocally that the listing was overpriced, and they disagreed with me. And in the disagreement, they showed me that they don't know how to price a listing. So yeah, anyway, if you don't know how to price a listing, okay, the best thing is to admit that first, right? That's a hard thing to admit as a realtor. But hey, join my team, the Morgan Group. I will help you understand how to price a home correctly. That's something that I feel like I'm particularly good at. And that's something that I have to do when I'm flipping houses, right? Which is something I do on the side. I might flip, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 homes a year. Not a huge part of what I do, but I need to be able to figure out not just what the home is worth now, but after I do a bunch of updates to this home, what's it going to be worth afterwards? I'll just be honest, a lot of people can't do that accurately. In fact, a lot of house flippers, at least inexperienced ones, tend to mess that up, and they can find themselves in trouble really, really fast. So anyway, just a little plug there for myself. If you need a real estate team, or if you need some help with your real estate, I would be more than happy to talk to you and discuss that with you. But for everyone else, that is what I am seeing in the real estate market right now. All the anecdotal stuff, for those of you that don't like the data as much, that you like stories, you like anecdotal, there you go. I gave you a bunch of that, and I hope that's helpful for you guys. If you have any thoughts on that, if you're a realtor and you disagree with me, let me know. Shoot me a text. Don't get aggressive with me on Facebook, and because I would prefer not to have those sorts of conversations in a public forum. But hit me up if you are a potential buyer, potential seller, whatever, interested in Greenville, Spartanburg area, buying or selling a home. Hit me up as well. My contact information is in the show notes. This is your last chance to, if you're on YouTube, to hit the like button. Hit it. Hit that thumbs up button. It'll take you a second. Please, if you're using any other platform, subscribe to the show. Hit the bell on YouTube as well. Make sure you subscribe. Subscribe on whatever platform you're using. If you can leave a rating or review, that would be great as well. And we will talk again next time.